We're holding a Masechta Shabbos at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. And the Mishnah says, if on Shabbos someone takes out a loaf of bread into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. If two people take out a loaf together, they're putter, because both people together carried the loaf, so no one person is doing the entire melacha. But if an item is so heavy that two people are needed to carry it out, in other words, ze'en yachol, ve'ze'en yachol, then they're both chayev if they carry it out together. Reb Shimon says, even in that case, they're potter. Gemara. The Mishnah learned its halachas from the word in the pasuk in Vayikra Perak Dalet, ba'asoysa, by doing it, i.e., only one who performs the entire melacha is chayev, but one who just does part of a melacha is potter. So if two people write with a quill together, since each person only did part, they're both potter. Daf Tzadik Gimel. Similarly, Reb Shimon learns that if one person makes an akira from a Rishus HaYachid, and a different person makes a hanacha in a Rishus HaRabim, both are putter as well, since no one person did the entire melacha. If a weak person helps a strong person, and his help is insignificant, the strong person is chayef, and the weak one is putter, since we say, misayeya ein bay mamish, just helping someone is insignificant. And the same rule of misayeya applies to cases of tuma as well. When the Kayan does the Avaida in the Beis HaMikdash, his feet must be on the floor. If one foot rests on a Keli, and if you pulled away the Keli, he would fall, the Avaida would be possible. But if he would not fall, the Avaida is kosher. An additional rule is that the Avaida must be done with the right hand, not the left hand. The next Mishnah. If someone takes out less than a shear of food, less than a gregaris, less than the size of a fig, but it's in a Keli, he's putter, since the Keli is tofel to the food, so it's not considered chashev. Also, if someone takes out a live person in a bed, so he's putter on the person, since we say chai noise es atzmai. Chai, a person who is living, balances himself and supports his own weight. And he's also putter for carrying the bed, since the bed is tofel to the person. But if he carries a dead person, then one is chayev for carrying the mace. If one carries a kezias of a mace, or a kezias of a nevela, since this shear is enough to be metame, it's enough to be chashev, and therefore carrying it would be usser, then he would be chayev. But Reb Shimon says putter in these cases, since this is considered a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Rashi explains that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is a malacha which is not needed for a constructive purposes, or doesn't serve the constructive purposes that it was meant to, i.e. he doesn't carry the mace for a constructive purpose, only to avoid contracting tumah from the mace in the house. Tosfos explains that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa means it wasn't done in the way that it was defined for in the Meleches HaMishkan, i.e., haitzah is only chayev if it's moved since you need it in the place that it's being brought to. But here, the mace was removed since you didn't need it there. You only want it in a different place. Many say, by the way, that this Mishnah is the main source for the recurring machloikas that we have throughout the Masechta between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda regarding melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Reb Shimon says melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater. Reb Yehuda says melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayev. Daf Tzadik Dalad, the Gemara. The Mishnah is like Rabbi Nassan, who holds that chai noise es atzmai. But if someone is tied up and can't move, then we don't use the kula of chai noise es atzmai. The Rabbanan said that it was osur to sell behemoth to goyim. We were afraid of malacha being done with them on Shabbos, and we know that there's a inyan of shvisas behema on Shabbos. But Ben Beseira said that a horse is mutter to sell, since its purpose is not for work, but for transport. Today, by the way, it's mutter to sell goyim, all animals, as we see in Yeradea, Simen Kufnan Aleph, Sif Dalad. Reb Shimon's heter of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa potter is not only if it isn't legufa of the one who does the haitzah, but even if it's legufai, for the object he is acting upon. The Gemara says there was once a mace in a certain place in a Rishus HaYachid, and Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak allowed them to carry it into a Carmelis, where we know that there is no haitzah midaraisa. Rashi explains that the corpse was in danger of rotting in the sun or being burnt by a fire. And the corpse, although it's muksa, but if we put a loaf of bread on it, the Rabbanan allowed us to move it, since the loaf is considered the ikar, and the mace becomes the tuffel. And it can be moved to a karmelis because of kavod habrias, which we say, kavod habrias is daicha and iser, the iser of haitzah, into a karmelis, which is an iser mid Rabbanan. The next Mishnah. If someone cut off a fingernail or hairs, this is geizes, or one who paints their eyes or combs hair, Rabbi Eliezer says, chayav to bring a chatas. The Chachamim say, it's only asr mishum shvus. A shvus means it's only asr because of an isr midrabanan, since they were done in an unusual manner. Gemara. The machlokes is only if he removes nails with his hand. But if one does it with a keli, then all agree that he would be chayef, because this is the normal way to cut a nail. For a man to pull out white hairs from black is osur afilu bachol, because it's an act of a woman, and it's osur because of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Finally, Rishim ben Elazar says, if roiv of a nail came off, then by hand it's mutter to take off the rest of the nail, since this is considered painful. If it is painful, a person is allowed to do this. Daf Tzadikei. If a woman paints her eyes on Shabbos, she's chayev for tzeveir. If she braids her hair, she's chayev for baina. One who milks an animal or who makes cheese is also chayev. Cheese is usser due to baina. But chaliva, milking, is usser due to mefarik, extracting, which is a tolda of the malacha of dash, threshing. Kuchas al-Daf says that all malachas, which are usser on Shabbos, are also usser on Yontif, except for malachas which are performed in preparation of eichel nefesh, for food, such as kneading and cooking. And he brings the Gemara in Be'ah Daf Yud Beis Amar Alf, Beis Hillel, who says that those malachas which are mutter for the sake of eichel nefesh are permitted for other Yomtiv purposes as well. This is based on the rule of Mitoich Shehutra Lutzerich Eichel Nefesh, Hutranami Shele Lutzerich Eichel Nefesh. And this is called the rule of Mitoich. Once something is mutter for the purpose of eating, it also becomes mutter not for the purpose of eating. For example, since one may perform the malacha of Haitzah, carrying, when needed for preparation of food, one may carry for different reasons as well, such as to bring his lulav to shul. However, a malacha such as sewing, which is never needed for eichel nefesh, is not permitted for any purpose on Yontif. Taisvis raises an interesting question. Presumably, one who wants to eat cheese on Yontif is permitted to make it, because it is being done in preparation of eichel nefesh, since cheese involves the malacha of baina, building. As our Gemara says, then it follows that performing baina on Yontif is permitted for other Yontif necessities as well, based on Beis Hillel's principle, mitaych shehut shel tzarech, hutranam mishalei lutzarech. Consequently, Taisus argues that if someone's house collapses on Yontif, he should be permitted to rebuild it if he needs it for Yontif, such as to protect himself from the elements. Since making cheese, which involves baina, is permitted on Yontif for the sake of eichel nefesh, it should also be permitted for other Yontif needs as well. Taisus answers that indeed there is no isser min ha-Torah for one to rebuild his house on Yontif. However, it is also midrabanan because it involves excessive exertion, tirchi yisera, and it's considered an uvda dechol, a weekday type chore. Therefore, it should really be usr. The Gemara says, we hold like Reb Shimon that a davar she'ena meskaven is mutter. So if someone wants to put water on a dirt floor, he can do so l'chatchila, since his kavana is not to level the floor, which is really the malacha, but just to keep it clean. Reb Yehuda, by the way, argues, and he would hold if davar she'ena meskaven is usr, and we know, of course, the halacha is like Reb Shimon l'kula. The Mishnah. If a flower pot has a hole in it, and this is referred to as an otzitz nakuv, and someone pulls a plant from it, the plant here is being nourished from the ground, even though it's unconnected. And in this case, we say that he's chayev for toilish. But if it doesn't have a hole, so therefore it gets no nourishment from the ground, then he's potter, since it's like it's already detached. Reb Shimon says in both cases, we say that he's potter, since the maisa, it's not attached. Gemara. Plants can only be mukhshel kabel tuma if they are detached, and then they come into contact with one of the seven liquids. Finally, a klicheres, depending on the size of its hole, has various halachas regarding tuma. For example, if the hole can't hold something the size of an olive, it cannot become tame. Daf Tzadik Vav. Regarding the size of a hole needed on a flower pot attached to the ground, so they can't be mekamel tuma, this is a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi says that it has to be at least the size of a pomegranate. Others say that it has to be the measure, the size of a small root. And the siman to remember this is echad hamarba v'echad hamamit. Said vis-a-vis a karban oila, whether one gives a lot, he gives a bird, for example, or he just gives a little bit, just flour, ubelvat she'echad ben libay l'shamayim, as long as he has kavana to do it l'shem shamayim, he's yaitse. Here too, it tells us that the two shitas are on the opposite sides of the spectrum. Very big, pomegranate, and very small, just the size of a root. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Yud Aleph, let's begin. Parak Hazarik, the Mishnah. If someone throws an article from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, he's chayef, because we know carrying is an av, and throwing is a tolda. And it's osir, since l'maisa there is both an akira as well as a hanocha. If he throws from Rishus HaYochid to a different Rishus HaYochid, and there is a Rishus HaRabim in between them, Rabbi Akiva says chayef, and the Chachamim say potter. An example of this case, according to Chachamim, is two porches on opposite sides of the street. In addition, if one throws or hands over the item from one balcony to the other, then he's pater. But if both are on the same side of the street, then the maishit, the one who extends, would be chayiv. But the zarek, one person who throws, would be pater. And a maishit is chayiv, because that's how the Levim handed boards from one wagon to the other during the time of the Lemleches HaMishkan. The Gemara. Zrika, throwing, is a tolda of haitza, of carrying. And where is haitza written in the Torah? Taisus here, by the way, says that although the other malachas don't have a specific pasuk in the Torah, but here we want a pasuk since haitza is considered a malacha gerua, an inferior labor, because it's not really much of a labor. More answers by Moshe Rabbeinu regarding carrying contributions for the Mishkan. The Gemara says haitza is an av, i.e. taking out two rishus harabim, but hachnasa, bringing into a rishus hayachid from a rishus harabim, that's a tolda. If someone throws a cake in rishus harabim, and it landed more than 10 tfachim from the ground, it's like zerek ba'avir, and he's potter, since more than 10 tfachim is not considered a rishus harabim. But if it fell below 10 tfachim, then obviously he's chayef. The halacha of carrying dalet amas in rishus harabim is learnt halacha l'meishim misinai. We know that we mentioned the real malachas are carrying from a rishus harabim to rishus hayachid, or vice versa. But carrying dalet amas in rishus harabim, that's halacha l'meishim misinai. Who was the one who was the mechal Shabbos in the Midbar, and was called the Mekayshish Eitzim, the one who gathered wood? Our answers, he was Tzlafchad. He was the one who had five daughters, as we know in Bamidbar Chav Zayin, and when he died, they came to be Yerush. They were the Benois Tzlafchad, Daf Tzadik Zayin. Reish Lakish says, HaChayshish Biksherim, like a Begufay. If someone suspects a person who is Kusher, he will be stricken. As we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was stricken momentarily with leprosy when he was Chayshish in Klal Yisrael. Rava says a taiva from Hashem comes quicker than a punishment for Hashem. Hashem usually waits until the last minute to give the punishment. And the Iyan Yaakov explains that the reason, possibly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits until the last minute is in order to give a person who is chayte the greatest opportunity to do tshuva before the punishment actually comes. Mashenkin, when he gives the reward, he wants to give it as quickly as possible. The Gemara says if one throws from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle, the Chachamim say Potter, since Kluta Lav Kehuncha Dami, flying something in the air, is not considered like it landed on the ground. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's Chayev, since Kluta Kemisha Huncha Dami. Kluta, when it flies through, it's as if it was set down on the ground. Therefore, it was like there was a Hanocha. The Gemara says anything within three Tvachim of the ground, it's considered as if it's connected to the ground. And this would be considered, therefore, a Rishus HaRabim as well. This Halacha is called Lavud. And the same rule applies to walls of a sukkah near the ground, that if it's within three tvachim, it's called lavud, and therefore it's like attached to the ground. And the halacha of lavud is learnt halacha l'meisha misinai. If someone throws an item from a rishus harabim to a rishus harabim with a rishus hayachid in the middle, which is the opposite case of the Mishnah, Rebbe says chayev, and the chachamim say pater. But Rabbi and Shmuel say Rebbe was only mechayev if the rishus hayachid had a roof, so it's considered like filled with goods, and therefore it's like a hanacha. But if it has no roof, then he's potter. The Havamina was that Rabbi Yehuda holds, one is mechuyev for two chatois, one for haitza and one for hachnasa. But Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi said, he's only chayev for one chatas. If the item passed through two rishus harabims, as long as the total distance traveled in both rishus harabims was at least dalet amos, you can be mitzdarif both of them. 2 + 2 = 4. But if the total distance was less than dalet amos, then he's potter. Tzadikas. Even though carrying Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos is chayiv, but if the Rishus HaRabim was covered with a roof, he's putter, since this wasn't similar to carrying in the Midbar. The Midbar was uncovered. Aye, but what about the Agolis, the wagons which were covered? Our answer is part was open, and part was covered. And in fact, the bottoms had no floors, just yesedos, just pegs. Regarding the krushim of the Mishkan, the boards, one Mandi Amar held that they were one amma thick from top to bottom, and one Mandi Amar held that they were one amma thick at the base, but they tapered thinner gradually upward, to be only one etzba thick up at the top. In addition to the boards, there were rings and braces, as well as the Briach HaTichon, a center rod which ran through the boards, put in after the boards were set up. And the Briach HaTichon was really an ace, since it curved around the corners as well. Daf Tzadik Tes. The cover of the Mishkan was two sets of five covers with 50 blue loops on the ends that had gold hooks, and they looked like stars in the sky. The rule is that an area can only be a Rishus HaRabim if it is at least 16 amas wide. This is learned from the Mishkan, which was 15 amas wide, plus an extra amas for the Bnei Levi to stand between the wagons, which were now a half amma each, the Gemara. If a ridge of a pit or a rock is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, so this is now called the Rishus HaYochid, if someone takes an item off the rock to put into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayef, since the Akira happened in the Rishus HaYochid, and the Anocha happened in the Rishus HaRabim. But if these items are smaller than this, then he's putter, since we now have no Rishus HaYochid to be taking from. Gemara. A pit in a Rishus HaRabim, 10 deep and 4 wide, which is now equal to a Rishus HaYochid, you can draw water from it unless there is a mechitza of at least 10 tefachim high all around. So now the whole area is called a Rishus HaYochid, and it's like taking from a Rishus HaYochid, the pit, to a different Rishus HaYochid, the area which is around the pit. And the bore plus the ridge are mitzdarif for the 10 tefachim deep to make it into a Rishus HaYochid. What if someone did an akira and created a mechitza to make it into a Rishus HaYochid both at the same time? Is he chayev? This is a machlokes. Tafkuf. Abaye says a bore in a Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 deep and 8 wide, so it's like a Rishus HaYochid, if someone throws a mat into it, he's chayev. But if it lands vertically and splits the area in half, then he's potter. And if there's a pit of 10 by 4 and it's filled with water, it's still called a Rishus HaYochid. So if someone throws it into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. But if it's filled with peiros, he's potter. Since mayim lo mevatli mechitzta, avol peiros mevatli mechitzta. And the Rambam explains that filling a pit with fruit cancels its Rishus HaYochid status because the fruit obscures the view of the pit's walls, which as a rule must be visible. In contrast, water does not nullify the pit's Rishus HaYochid status since water is transparent and does not obstruct the view of the pit's walls. The next Mishnah. If someone throws an object the distance of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim toward a wall, if it landed higher than 10 tefachim, he's putter, since this is called a Mokum Ptur. But if it landed below 10 tefachim, he's chayef, since this is now a Rishus HaRabim. Gemara. If it landed in a crack more than 10 tefachim, then it's totally in the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Rabbanan. Reb Meir holds, chaykikin lahashlam. It's like we carve out to be mashlam the shear. So even if the space is less than 4 tefachim wide, we consider it to be carved out at more than 4 tefachim, so he's chayef. But the Rabbanan say, ein chaykikin lahashlam, therefore he's potter. The Gemara says if someone throws an object from a Rishus HaRabim onto a tel hamislaket, onto a hill, which gradually achieves the height of 10 tefachim within a span of only dalet amos, so he's chayev, since it's like throwing from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Rashi explains that this hill is only called a Rishus HaYochid if it is so steep that it is difficult to walk up it, lo nicha tashmishte, i.e. it reaches the height of 10 tefachim in a distance of just 4 amos, which is very steep. But if it isn't that steep, it becomes viewed as a part of the Rishus HaRabim, which it rests on, just a little mound in the Rishus HaRabim, which already exists. The next Mishnah. If someone threw an item in a Rishus HaRabim a distance less than Dalet Amos, but it rolls beyond the Dalet Amos, then he's putter. But if he threw it Dalet Amos, but it landed closer to him within Dalet Amos, then he's chayef. Gemara. In the Seifa, it's speaking that it landed beyond the Dalet Amos, therefore there was a Hanocha, and then it rolled back inward. The Mishnah. If someone throws Dalet Amos into the sea, then he's putter, since a sea is not called a Rishus HaRabim, but rather a Carmelis. If someone throws an item into a Rekak Mayim, a puddle, which is less than 10 tefachim deep, and the puddle is in a Rishus HaRabim, then he's chayev, since this is considered just a regular part of an existing Rishus HaRabim. Gemara. And even if the puddle is less than 4 tefachim wide, it's still called a Rishus HaRabim. Next Mishnah. If someone throws from the Yam, from the sea, to the Yabasha, to the dry part, to the shore, or vice versa, or from a ship into the sea, or vice versa, or from one ship to another, then he's putter, because the sea is considered to be one big Carmelis, the boat is a Rishus HaYochid, and the shore is a Rishus HaRabim. So as long as the sea is involved anywhere in the transaction, then the sea is called the Carmelis, and therefore he's putter. But if two ships are tied together, and there is no gap between them, it is mutter to carry between them, if they make an Erev Chatzeres. But if they are not tied together, even if there is no gap between them, it's usher to carry, since the sea, the Carmelis, separates them. Gemara. Although one is potter if he carries from a boat to the sea, but it is still usher to do lachatchila, since we're still talking about carrying from a Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelis. Daf Kuf Aleph. Wide boats, which narrow to a point at the bottom, the boats of Mishan, inside of them, one can carry only up to Dalet Amos, since they are called a Carmelis. The bottom is less than 10 tefachim wide, so it's not called a mechitza, and then it can't be a Rishus HaYochid. Why not say good achis mechitzta, since you do have Dalat Tfachim at the top, extend the walls downward, imaginarily, which is what the klal of good achis means, and let's say that it is a rishus hayachid, since now it has machitzas, imaginarily. Our answer is, since fish can penetrate it, it may be a broken machitza. In the end, the Gemara refutes this teretz. The Gemara says, once two boats become untied, we say the Erev Chatzeres becomes invalid. But if they become tied again, the machitza becomes valid again, since we say, kol machitza shanasa b'shabbos, shma machitza. Even if it's made on Shabbos, it's still considered to be a good machitza. The heter of our Mishnah of carrying between boats is even if they are tied with a very weak string, like a chut hasarbel, a neck string, used on shirts. The Gemara says if a boat has kalim on it, and it's tied below a roof that has a mace under it, if it's tied with a strong string, the boat becomes an av hatuma, since it's like connected to the mace, and an av can be metama the kalim on it. But if it is not a strong string, it cannot be metama tumas mace. And this chumrah, by a strong string, is only if that cable is made from metal, since only metal which touches a dead body becomes an avi avos hatuma, as the pasuk says, b'chalal cheref. Cheref harehu kechol. Only metal becomes just like the dead body. But if a person touches the corpse, they only become an av hatuma, not an avi avos hatuma, because a person is not metal. But regarding Hilchos Shabbos, even if boats are tied with a weak string, just a chut hasarbel, one can carry from one ship to another ship. They're considered to be connected. Daf Kuf Beis, the next Mishnah. If someone threw an item on Shabbos b'shayeg, and after it left his hand, he remembered that it's Shabbos, and then someone else came, or a dog came and caught it, or it got burnt, then he's potter. The klal is that the chiyuv of chatas only comes if someone was shayeg at the beginning and at the end of the maisa. Gemara. If someone carried an item to move it 6 amos in Rishus HaRabim, the first two were b'shayeg, the middle two were b'mezid. Rabba says potter, and Rabba says chayef. Finally, the Gemara says it's possible to eat 1 kezias of food and be chayef for 5 chatois and 1 asham, just for the 1 achila. How is this possible? If one was tame and he ate chelev, which was nicer, of kachim on Yom Kippur, and if he's a kain. And if he took it out on Shabbos, he's chayef an additional chatas as well for haitzah. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Yud Beis, Habayna, the Mishnah. If one builds even the shear of a kolshehu, he's chayef for being over on the malacha of baina. If one shapes or chisels a stone, this is called makeh b'patish, dealing the final blow. Or if one drills, even a kolshehu, he's chayef. The rule is, anyone who does a malacha on Shabbos, which has a kiyum, it lasts, he's chayef. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, even if one just strikes an anvil, he's chayef for makeh b'patish. Kuntres al-Daf brings the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Seif Halacha Yud Gimel, that according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is saying that a malacha that can endure for one day is considered significant, whereas according to Rashi, one is not chayev unless the malacha is performed, which is performed, is capable of enduring for a long period of time. The Yerushalmi in Perek HaBayna brings a machlokes regarding building a structure with the intent to dismantle it shortly afterwards. Rabbi Yossi Barbun adduces proof from the fact that the Mishkan was constantly assembled and dismantled, that a binyan l'sha, a temporary building, is considered an act of baina, because the malachas of Shabbos are derived from the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yosef maintains that binyan l'sha is not considered an act of baina. He explains the construction of the Mishkan was considered a permanent building because Klal Yisrael traveled al pi hadibur, according to Hashem's instructions, i.e. they remained camped at a given location until Hashem signaled that they should travel further, as we know from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Since the length of time of their stopover at any given location was unknown to them, it was considered a permanent stop, and the Mishkan was considered to be a permanent structure. V'nai de Yehuda and our Chaim Simon Lamed asserts that opening an umbrella on Shabbos is usur because it involves asiyas oihel, making a tent, which is prohibited as a tolda of baina. The Chassam Sefer and our Chaim Simon Ayin Beis, citing this Yerushalmi, writes that opening an umbrella is not a malacha min ha-tayra because it is only a binyan l'sha, since one who opens an umbrella does so with the intent of shutting it after a short period of time, when he comes out of the rain, it is not considered a permanent binyan. Therefore, it is at most only a malacha midrabanan. The Gemara. There are 3 levels of building. The bottom layer is the foundation. The next layer requires mortar, and the top can just be put on top. Misates, shaping the stone, Rav says it's a tolda of baina, while Shmuel says it's a tolda of makeh b'patish. Daf Kuf Gimel, next Mishnah. If one plows, weeds, or cuts branches, even a kol shehu, he's chayev. Gathering wood to improve the ground, even a kol shehu is chayev. But gathering wood for cooking, in order to be chayev, he must carry enough wood in order to cook an egg. The next Mishnah. If one writes two letters with either hand on Shabbos, he's chayev for the malacha of kaisef. Even if it's with two different inks or in a foreign language, he's chayev. Rabbi Yossi says, any writing is chayev, since that's how it was done in the Mishkan. Two boards had similar marks, so they could be paired up. Therefore, any type of a mark would qualify for ksiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, if someone wanted to spell a long word, and he stopped after two letters and it spelled out a short word, for example, he wanted to spell the word shimon, but he only write the shin mem, which also spells the word shame, then he's also chayev. Gemara. If someone writes shin mem instead of shimon, these two letters have full chashivas, even if the mem is pasuach. From here we see that if a letter was supposed to be written sosum in the Sefer Torah, but was written pasuach, we say that it's kosher. However, by tefillin and mezuzahs, we learn from the word uchsav tam that it must be a ksav tam, it must be totally free from mistakes, i.e. it has to be perfect. Daf Kuf Dalet. The closed letters of the luchais, the mem and the samach, stood in place only via a miracle. We know that the letters of the luchais were carved out on both sides, yet they could be read in the proper order on both sides. Obviously, a miracle. The Chacham came to the Beis Medrash and darshan the letters of the Aleph Beis. For example, they said that Aleph and Beis stand for Aleph Bina, learn insight, meaning to study the Torah deeply. Gimel and Dalet stand for Gemoel Dalim, aid the needy. And the leg of the Gimel stretches towards the Dalet to teach us that Gemel Chasadim run after poor people in order to help them. And the face of the Dalet turns away from the Gimel to tell us that when one gives tzedakah, he should do it secretly so as not to embarrass the Ani. He should turn away from the Ani so the Ani doesn't see him. Shin stands for Sheker, and Tuf is the last letter of Emes. The letters of Sheker are all at the end of the Aleph Beis, while the letters of Emes are spread out through the Aleph Beis. The Aleph is the beginning, the Mem is in the middle, and the Tuf is at the end, to teach us that Sheker is common, while Emes is not. And the letters of Sheker all stand on one foot, not on both feet, to teach us that Sheker cannot stand strongly, it's not on a strong foundation, while Emes has letters with two strong legs, since it stands on a very strong foundation. The next Mishnah. If one writes two Isias, Behelamachas, on Shabbos, he's chayav to bring a chatas. If he uses any type of ink, even on two different walls, then he's chayav. If one writes on his skin, then he's chayav. If he scratches them on his skin, Rabbi Ezra says chayav, the Chachamim say potter. But if he wrote with ink that doesn't last, for example, fruit juice, or he writes kelachar yad, he writes with his feet, or he writes ksav al gabi ksav, writing which is already on top of other writing, or if he wanted to write ches, but he wrote two zions instead, then he's potter. If he writes two letters that cannot be read as one unit, then he's also potter. Gemara. Rav Ami says if one writes two different letters, one letter he writes in Tveria and one in Tzipari, then he's chayev, since in this case they could be brought together as one unit if they're brought in from the two different cities. Daf Kufei. If someone writes one letter which abbreviates one word, Rabbi Yeshua ben Tzaira says chayev, the Chachamim say potter. In fact, in many places in the Torah, we have examples of abbreviations. The next Mishnah. If one writes two letters in two different periods of unawareness, for example, one he wrote on Shabbos in the morning with a helam, and a period of awareness between them, and one letter he writes in the afternoon, Rabbi Gamliel says chayev, the Chachamim say potter. Gemara. Finally, the machlokes. This machlokes is based on the fact that Rabbi Gamliel, who holds chayev, says ein yediyah lechatzi shir, a partial yediyah cannot separate, therefore two of them can be mitzdarif, and the Chachamim say potter, since yesh yediyah lechatzi shir. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin Perek Yud Gimel Ha'Oireg, the Mishnah. In order to be chayev for the malacha of Oireg, weaving on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer says if one weaves three threads at the beginning of the making of a beged, or adds just one thread to a beged which is already in the process of being woven, then he's chayev. The Chachamim say any time in the process, the shear to be chayev is always shnei chutin, two threads. One who makes two bate nirin, two warp threads through loops, he's chayev. In addition, if one is teifer shtei tefiris, he sews two stitches, he's chayev. Sewing, in general, if one sews two stitches, they're chayev. And if one is kerei almanas litfor beis tefirin, a person rips something in order to sew two threads, then he's also chayev. Gemara. If someone tears something on Shabbos, not almanas litfor, but because he's angry, or he's grieving over a mace, he's putter, since this is not called the malacha. Masechta Shabbos, daf kuf hei, the Mishnah. If one tears due to anger or grieving for a mace, or just to be makalkel, to ruin something, he's potter. One who destroys in order to build, the minimum shear to be chayef is the same as one who fixes. The minimum shear to whiten or to dye wool is double the width of a sit. A sit is a distance between the index finger and the middle finger if they are pulled and spread apart. To be chayef for oireg shnei chutin, the minimum shear is one sit. Gemara. If someone did kriya for a mace, we know it is a halacha. If someone, a close relative, dies, a person must tear from his shirt and from his jacket, and so on. He has to do kriya. And if one did this on Shabbos, even though he was machal Shabbos, he's yoytze the mitzvah of kriya. If it's for one's own relative, he's chayev. But if it's for someone else, he's potter. Kudrus al-Daf brings the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Alman Alef, that says that one cannot perform a mitzvah with an item acquired through an avera, mitzvah haba ba'avera. And therefore, if one, for example, uses a stolen lulav, he does not fulfill the mitzvah. Similarly, one who eats stolen matzah at the Seder does not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's a mitzvah facilitated by an avera. The Yerushalmi in our parak asks why a mourner who performs kriya on Shabbos is considered as having fulfilled the mitzvah. Since the act of kriya was a desecration of Shabbos, the mitzvah should be invalid under the principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera. The Yerushalmi's answer is a bit ambiguous, and therefore it lends itself to a number of interpretations. Taisus in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Alman Aleph, explains that the principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera applies when a mitzvah was made possible through the perpetration of an avera. If the person would not have stolen the matzah, he would not have been able to eat it. Therefore, eating stolen matzah is considered to be a mitzvah haba ba'avera. In contrast, tearing a garment on Shabbos does not disqualify the mitzvah of kriya, because the mitzvah could have been done just as well after Shabbos. It was not the avera that made the mitzvah possible. The Beis Yosef, in Yerodea, Simon Shin Mem, Divrei HaMaskil Kotten, explains that the principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera states that an avera item cannot be used for a mitzvah. A stolen item is an avera item, and therefore may not be used for the performance of the mitzvah of lulav or matzah. However, when one tears a garment on Shabbos, the garment is not termed an avera item, and therefore it's not considered mitzvah haba ba'avera. The Sfasemes suggests that the mitzvah of kriya is not an act of tearing the garment, but rather the act of wearing the torn garment. Therefore, the garment being torn on Shabbos is not a mitzvah haba ba'avera, since the mitzvah is not performed at the time of the tearing. The Yerushalmi adds that if the first night of Pesach falls on Shabbos, and one violates Shabbos by carrying matzah from the street to the house, he can still fulfill the mitzvah with that matzah. The fact that the matzah was carried on Shabbos does not render it mitzvah haba ba'avera. Finally, the Ramban, brought in the Rashba, rules that if one performs kriya on a stolen garment, it's considered a mitzvah haba ba'avera, and the mitzvah is invalid, because this is no different from one who steals stolen matzah. The Gemara says when a chacham dies, everyone is considered to be like his relative, so in some ways they're chayav to do kriya as well. And in fact, if someone cries for an adam kosher, Hashem is meichel him on all of his averus. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says if someone is next to a mace at the time of Yitzias Neshama, he's chayav to do kriya, since it's equivalent to a sefer Torah which is burning. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Melacha she'en etzricha legufa is chayav. Rabbi Shimon holds, Melacha she'en etzricha legufa is potter. A melacha she'en etzricha legufa is a melacha not needed for its defined purpose. For example, if one carries a dead body out of a house on Shabbos, he didn't do it to transport into a rishus harabim, which is a melacha, but rather to rid the house of a dead body. The Gemara says the Yetzirah starts small by pushing a person to do a small avera, then a larger one, and then an even larger one like avodah zarah. The Gemara says whoever is lazy in being maspit a chacham will not live a long time. This is midah keneged midah. Rabbi Yochanan says, if one of a number of brothers dies, all of the other brothers should worry about their dying as well. And if one member of a chabura dies, the other members should worry as well. Daf Kuf Vav. The general rule is that mekalkel, destroying something, on Shabbos is potter, a malacha which is destructive in nature. Rabbi Avo said, there are two exceptions to this rule. Number one, chayvel, wounding a person. And number two, burning something. These two cases are chayev, even though they're mekalkel. And the proof is that the Torah had to specifically say that mila is mutter on Shabbos, because mila in some ways is like mekalkel. The pasuk says in Vayikra Yud Beis, Uvayayim hashmini yimal. Mashma, that without the pasuk, mila would be usur to do on Shabbos due to chayvel. And one would be chayev if they do it on Shabbos. Of course, we know that that's not the case. If we know for sure that a baby was born on Shabbos, then we can do the bris milah on the eighth day, which is on Shabbos. But if there's any suffix to that, we're not allowed to do the milah on the eighth day. The Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says one who traps a bird in a closet, or by driving a deer into a house, is chaya for the malacha of tzad, trapping. the Chachamim say, and by a deer, even into a garden or any enclosure, that's also called tzad. Rabbi Gamliel says, if it isn't really 100% trapped, then he's potter. Gemara. One cannot trap fish in a pond on Yantav, and one cannot feed them since they're mukza. But a chaya or an oif, already trapped, can be taken, and one can feed them. The Gemara says we paskin in our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. One who traps a deer who is sleeping or blind is chayev, since they can probably slip away if they sense that someone is about to trap them. Mashenken, if the deer is lame, old, or sick, then he's putter, since it's not capable of running away. It's important to point out that trapping an animal which could bite a person, if this is an animal that can bite someone, then a person may trap it on Shabbos to prevent it from causing such an injury, even if the bite is not really a deadly bite. For example, if there is a wild dog that's in a particular area, one can chase it into an enclosure, close the door of the enclosure behind the animal, and technically trap it. This is mutter, because this would involve only tzeda midrabanan, because the trapping is a malacha she'enet shricha legufa at this point. One isn't doing it to trap the dog, he's only doing it to prevent the dog from harming or from biting someone. This heter applies even if the animal is not actually running after somebody, but if it's seen in the area and we know that it could potentially bite someone, in that case we would be allowed to shut a door on it in order to keep it from running around wildly to bite someone. Finally, the Gemara says if one catches flies on Shabbos, he's chayev. But the Chachamim say if it's an animal which is not normally hunted like a fly, then he's potter. The Mishnah. If a deer entered a house and someone closed the door, he's chayev for tzeda. But if two people closed the door, they're potter, since two people shared in one malacha. If each one is not capable of closing the door by himself, because it's a very heavy door, then both are chayev. Rav Shimon says in that case, they would also be potter. Next Mishnah. If a deer entered the house and one sat by the door, but didn't fill it completely, in other words, there's enough room for the deer to get out, then he's potter, since this is not a full tzeda. But if a second person came, sat down in the doorway to fill it up, and now the animal cannot get out, then the second one is the one who's chayev, since he was the one that created the tzeda. He sealed the door shut. Tafkuf Zayin, the Gemara. If a bird flew under a person's cloak and it became trapped, he can keep it there until after Shabbos, since he was just continuing the previous matzav that existed before. The animal got under there by himself and got entangled. He can continue that process. Shmuel says, whenever by Hilcha Shabbos it uses the Lashon of Pater, it means Pater Avol Osar, to do Lechatchila, except for three cases which are Mutter Lechatchila, including our case in the Mishnah where the deer was already in the house. Also, if one is Matis Mursa, he pops a boil on Shabbos. If it's just to let the pus out, then it's Mutter. It's pater aval mutter lechatchila, since it's b'makom tsar, the person is in pain. The third case is trapping a snake, if it's so that it won't bite somebody, which again, of course, here is pater u'mutter lechatchila. This marks the end of this perek. Let's now begin the 14th perek, perek Shmeine Shrotzim. And the Mishnah says, there are 8 Shrotzim, which are mentioned in the Torah. Normally, the halacha is that Shrotzim do not convey tuma if they die. However, these special 8 do convey tuma, and these include certain lizards as well as weasels. The Mishnah says that if one traps them, tzad, or bruises them, chavala, on Shabbos, he's chayev. The chiyev of tzad exists because these are animals that are normally trapped. What is chavala? Rashi learns that this is the malacha of netilas neshama, which is a tolda of shechita, or possibly it's the malacha of tzevea, dying, since a bruise causes a discoloration of the skin. Therefore, it's tzevea. But other shkatzim and ramasim, for example, worms or snakes or scorpions, if someone bruises them, he's putter, because they don't have thick hides. Their skin reddens, but goes back to its original state, so therefore there's no real damage. But if someone traps them for a positive purpose, then they're chayev. But if it's shaloi lutzarech, they're putter. Chayev oif, which is in one's control, if someone traps them, he's putter, since they're already trapped, they're already in their person's control. But chavala, they would be chayev, because they have hides which redden. Gemara. A permanent chabura is one where blood gathers under the skin and doesn't leave that area. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and decides how all animals will get their sustenance, from the horns of the re'aim, which is a very tall animal, to the small newborn lice. All animals are decided in that form. Finally, if a person traps for a non-positive purpose, he's potter. This is the shita of Reb Shimon, who holds Melacha She'enet Shricha Legufa is potter. One can write tefillin on the skin of a oif tahar. Only a kosher animal can be used for tefillin, since the Torah says regarding tefillin in Shmais, Leman tihiyah Torah Hashem b'ficha, to hide, therefore must be mutar b'ficha. It must be something which is kosher to eat. What about a kosher of fish? Can it be used for tefillin? Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he will give the answer to this question. And the Gemara asks, how can Eliyahu HaNavi tell us what to do? The Torah is here, not in Shemayim. As Rashi brings, the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, Torah loy b'shamayim hu. The Chasam Sefer explains that it's possible Eliyahu can appear as a human being and give the psak that way. We learn halacha l'maishu misina that the parshios of tefillin are wrapped in the hair of animals, and the batim are sewn with the gidl, the sinews. The Mishnah. One is not allowed to make hilmi on Shabbos. Hilmi is brine, and if a person makes this, it looks like he's preserving. But one can make salt water, regular salt water, and put it in a cooked dish or dip bread into it. Gemara. Meimelach means a small amount of salt water, which is mutter, but hilmi is large quantities of salt, which would be aser. Rav Dimi said no one ever drowned in the Dead Sea due to the high salt content. Shmuel said, to wash your eyes with cold water in the morning and one's hands and feet at night is good for a person. Finally, Rav Meina said, before washing Negelwasser in the morning, one should not touch his eyes or mouth since there is a ruach hatuma on them. Daf Kuftas. Coriander and hops do not help as a refuah for the eye. Something which is only used for refuah cannot be used on Shabbos. But if something is also used by healthy people, it can be used for refuah on Shabbos. For example, drinking whiskey to take care of a toothache. The Gemara says all seas can be used as a mikveh, because the pasuk in Bereishis Aleph says, Ula mikveh hamayim kara yamim, and the gatherings of water he called seas. Others say that only the Yam HaGadol can be used as a mikveh, i.e. only the oceans. A mayan, a spring, can be metahir when it is sitting still, when it is ba'ashbaran, or when it is moving, when it is zeichelin. But a mikveh can only be metahir if it is sitting still. Rabbi Yehuda says, a sea has the din of a mayon, so it can be metahir even bezeichelin, when it is moving. And it is not called mayim chayim, so a zav cannot use it. The next Mishnah. A food which healthy people do not eat is usur to eat on Shabbos, since it's clear that it's being eaten for the purpose of refuah. But if healthy people do eat it, for general purposes, then a sick person can eat it on Shabbos as well. We know the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Chaf Beis, says that a sick person is allowed to eat these kinds of foods on Shabbos, even if he does so with the intent of healing himself, because it's considered food, not medicine. For example, if a person is suffering from a sore throat, he can eat an orange on Shabbos to soothe and heal his throat, because an orange is considered Meichel Briyim. It's something which normal, healthy people eat. The basis for this Yisurim is we know that there is an Isser Mirabanan to take medicine on Shabbos or doing any medical procedure because of a concern of Shchikas Samemanim. This is brought Lahalocha in Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Mem Aleph. And the Inyan of Shchikas Samemanim, that one with the reason that it is usur to take medicine on Shabbos is because we're afraid that a person may mistakenly grind herbs in order to prepare the medication. And this is brought in Sechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. This Isser, of course, we know, does not apply to a chayla sheyesh by sakana. If a person is very dangerously sick, then, of course, not only is taking medicine mutter, but even a malacha min ha-taira can be performed. In addition, the Rama in Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Lamed Zayin says that this Isser mid Rabbanan of taking medicine on Shabbos does not apply to a person who is nafal lemishkav, he's bedridden, or a person who is chayla kol gufay. If his whole body is in pain, then a person is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, and we're not concerned about this Isser Midrabanan. The Gemara. The Gemara brings many types of refuahs that were used in the times of the Gemara. Today we're not in a position to have a clear understanding of these refuahs. And many say this is because nishtanu hatavayim, our basic state of nature has changed since the times of the Gemara. Daf Kuf Yud. At some point in the days of the Gemara, they made a gzera to lessen simcha by not bringing palm branches to be mesameach chasen v'kala. And the Gemara says if a snake is running after you, jump over a river, have a friend carry you, or tie cats to the bed so the snakes will not come. One who wants to get rid of the sweat of a fever should wrap himself in the sheet of someone else with the same machla. It is usur to sterilize a man, as the pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Bey says, uva'artzachem loisasu bochem, which teaches us that castration is usur to both man and animal. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. By a person, if a person is already sterile, it is usur to do an additional maisa along the same lines. For example, to take medication which would normally make it impossible for someone to have children. A man is mechuyev in the mitzvah of piri verivya, so castration is usur. But since a woman is not chayev in piri verivya, a woman would be allowed to drink a potion that causes sterility. A woman, by the way, is pater, since the pasuk says, peru uravu umilu es haaretz v'kivshuha. You should multiply and fill the land, and you should fill it, and you should conquer it. Since only men conquer, i.e. only men go to war, women are pater. Rabbi Yochanan Breka argues, and says a woman is chayev in piri verivya, since the pasuk says, peru uravu. Saying it to both man and woman, therefore both are mechuyev in the mitzvah of piri verivya. The next Mishnah. If someone has a toothache on Shabbos, he is not allowed to drink vinegar, since it is obvious that he is doing it for the purpose of refuah. But he can dip his bread in vinegar and then eat it, since this is tzarech, and this is the normal derech, achila. If a person has muscle aches, he can't apply wine or vinegar, because again, it's clearly for the purpose of refuah. But he can apply oil, since that's the normal thing to do, but he's not allowed to apply rose oil, because that's very expensive, and it's not normal for a person to apply that. Reb Shimon argues, and says, since Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim heim, all of Klal Yisrael is considered the sons of Melachim, even rose oil would be okay, because it's the normal derech for Klal Yisrael to apply rose oil, because they're all Melachim. Gemara. Rava holds of the Klal of Hayil, once something is mutter to do before a meal, that it's mutter to do even after a meal. And once something is mutter to do on Shabbos, for example, tefillah, it's also mutter to do on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, that rose oil is mutter, since Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim heim. Finally, if something is a davar she'eino miskaven, it's a machlokes if it's mutter or not, to do on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says aser, Reb Shimon says mutter. This marks the end of this parak. Parak tesvav v'elu kisharim. We know that there are three categories of knots. Number one, a permanent knot, a kesher shel kayama. Number two, a long-lasting knot. And number three, a temporary knot. Tying a permanent knot that is intended and able to last indefinitely is osur midaraisa and carries a chatas liability. This is brought in the Beis Yosef, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. Tying a knot that is meant to remain knotted for a long time, i.e. more than 24 hours, but not forever, is also osur midarabanan. This is brought in the Ramah, Reish Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. Finally, tying a knot with the intention of undoing it within 24 hours, that's mutter. This particular codification of these halachas is based on Rashi. However, according to the Rambam, in Hilchas Shabbos, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam adds that tying a professional type of a knot, a maisa uman, is also even if it's only temporary. According to many paiskim, however, a tightly tied double knot is classified as a professional type of knot and may not be tied on Shabbos even temporarily. And the Mishnah says, these are the knots that if one ties them on Shabbos, he's chayev. And he's chayev for kosher. So if a person does it b'di'evet, he's chayev to bring a chatas. Number one, the knot of a camel rider. And number two, the knot of a sailor. And just like one is chayev when he ties a knot, he's also chayev when he unties it. Rameir says, if it's a loose knot, he's pater. What about a bow, the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, teku. The next Mishnah. There is a type of knot that if one makes it, he is putter, nonetheless, it's usur. A woman can tie the straps of a garment or head covering or shoes, and these are all mutter. And one can tie the entrance to the stall of an animal so it will not escape. Daf Kuf Yud Beis, the Gemara. A woman would never pull off her hat with the knot tied because she is careful with her hair not to ruin it. Shoes, which are made to be tied and untied every day, even if one puts a full knot on them, it is mutter to do it on Shabbos. If straps are tied on shoes, which are not undone every day, and are truly a kesher shel kayama, it is usur to tie them on Shabbos. The Gemara says if the outer loop of a shoe is torn off, it's a machlekes if this is a keli, so this will determine if it can become tummy. If it's a keli, of course, it can become tummy. It will also determine if it can become muktzah. If it's a keli, it is not muktzah. A wooden keli, if it gets a hole at least the size of a pomegranate, it loses its shame keli and cannot become tameh. If it is already tameh, it then becomes tahar. If a keli gets a hole the size of an aleph, then a different hole, which is also the size of an aleph, eventually it reaches the size of a pomegranate, then it's a machlekes if it becomes tameh or not. Finally, if the earlier generation is called b'nei melachim, then we're called b'nei anashim. And if the earlier generation are b'nei anashim, then we're like chamerim, we're like donkeys. And when we say we're like donkeys, we're not like the chush of the donkeys of Reb Chanina ben Daisa, or Pinchas Ben Yair, but just regular donkeys. The chamor of Pinchas ben Yair once was offered grain that didn't have maaser taken off, and it refused to eat it. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dais's donkey only took correct money and was makpid on geneva. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. The Mishnah. If one wants to tie a bucket to a well, he can do it so if it isn't a kesher shel kayama, and he doesn't use a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter even with a rope, since his rule was any time it is not a kesher shel kayama, it's mutter to tie the knot. The halacha, which is brought in Simon Shin Yud Zayin Halacha Hay, follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, who permit making a bow on Shabbos to fix a rope of a bucket that snapped. The Gemara says that it is even mutter to make a permanent bow. And the Ramah says that this kula also applies to a bow that is made on top of a single knot. The Gemara. Tanakama says it's usur to do it with a rope, otu a case of a rope which is a kesher shel kayama. And a rope tied to a cow can be tied on the other end to a man's eating box. The next Mishnah. One is allowed to fold his clothing for Shabbos use, and he can make his bed on Shabbos for use on Shabbos, but not on Shabbos for use on Matzoi Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says, if Yom Kippur is on Friday, this of course cannot happen today, then one can fold clothes or a bed from Friday to Shabbos. But Yom Kippur is considered less chashuv than Shabbos regarding Evarim. Rabbi Akiva says, however, that they're considered equal. The Gemara. The pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Ches says, v'chibaretoi me'asais derachecha, when you honor it, i.e. the Shabbos, don't do things in your normal way. So they learned that on Shabbos you should wear different clothes than you wear during the week. And from the pasuk of Mimtzai Cheftzecha, taking care of your needs, we learn only Cheftzei Shamayim is mutter to do on Shabbos, not a person's personal business needs. Rashi explains, Cheftzei Shamayim would mean mitzvahs, for example, making shiduchim for the banais, or giving tzedakah, or preparing or thinking about giving tzedakah. Obviously a person can't give tzedakah on Shabbos, but a person can think or discuss about raising money on Shabbos for the purpose of tzedakah. When the pasuk says v'daber dover, it means you should speak differently on Shabbos than you do during the week, i.e. you should not discuss business on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, one should also walk differently, i.e. don't take large steps on Shabbos. But be'emes, one shouldn't take large steps on chol either, because it can make a person sick. The pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tes, Tein lachacham v'yachkem oid, give to the wise and you will become wiser, refers to Rus Hamayavia and Shmuel Haramasi. And Boaz saw that she was modest, she was tznua, and was makpid to do the mitzvah of matnas aniyim properly. When he saw that her gerus was sincere, he said that he was allowed to marry her. And via Ruach HaKadosh, he saw that the malchus of David HaMelech would come from her. And when they saw Kaidshim separating Rus and Boaz, it was a simon that the melucha would split into two sides, Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. It's a ganai if a Talmud Chacham goes out to the marketplace, if he has patches on his shoes, and if he has grease stains on his clothes, it causes the Torah to be hated. Rabbi Yochanan said, Talmud Chachamim are involved in the building of the world, since they are learning Torah. Rabbi Yochanan asked, who is a Talmud Chacham to make him leader of people? Rabbi Yochanan answers, he can answer a Dvar Halacha anywhere, even if it's from a smaller Masechta, which is not well known. Rabbi Yochanan said to his sons, don't bury me in white shrouds, because I may end up in Gehenna. And don't bury me in black, since I might be zeicha to be in Gan Eden, but put me in red shrouds. Finally, if Yom Kippur comes out on Erev Shabbos, they don't blow the shofar, which is normally blown, since it's usur due to a shvus. This marks the end of this parak. Daf Kuf Tezvav, let's begin parak Tezayin Kol Kisveh, the Mishnah. All holy books, not only Sifrei Torah, may be saved from a fire on Shabbos, even via Haitzah, and even Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and even if it's a translation of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, or of the Torah. And one should not read from Ksuvim on Shabbos, so that people will instead go to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah. Gemara. Translated Sfarim, when they get old, also have a Chiyav Geniza, not only if they're written in Hebrew. Brachas and certain other items of Torah Shabbal Peh are not allowed to be written, and therefore, if there is a fire, you cannot save them from the fire. Kuntras Al-Daf brings the background to this. We know that in the Mishnah, it was usur to write Torah Shabbal Peh, because it was supposed to be transmitted orally from teacher to student. Dvarim Shabbal Peh, iya Torah Shai le'omrin bichsav, as the Gemara in Gittin, Daf, Samach, Amud Beis says. If one had a book of Torah Shabbal Peh in his house, according to Rav Huna, it's usur to save it from a fire on Shabbos, since it's a forbidden book. The Gemara there in Gittin says that later generations were granted permission to write Torah Shebal Peh because the Chachamim were concerned that it would be entirely forgotten due to increasing oppression from the Goyim. Eis l'aseis l'Hashem heferu sarisacha. The Rambam says that this permission was granted during the period of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, at which time he compiled the Mishnayos. Taisus says that today manwe rescue all Svarim, not just Tanakh, from a fire on Shabbos, because today it is mutter to write Torah Shebal Peh. And the Rush adds that the same dispensation was given to translating Tanakh into foreign languages. Since many people do not understand Lashon HaKodesh, it is permitted to translate the Torah into other languages to enable the masses to study Torah. Therefore rules the Rush, today one must save books of Tanakh from the fire even if they are written in foreign languages. The Gemara asks, any part of Tanakh written in Lashon HaKodesh, but in an ink that does not last, are we allowed to save it from the fire? That's a machlokes. The only difference between the Tanakh and Megillas Esther is that Tanakh can be written in any language, while Megillas Esther must be written in Ksav Ashuris, our writing, and it must be written on cloth with diyai, with a special type of ink. The Gemara says if a Sefer Torah has some letters rubbed out, in order to maintain the full level of Kedusha, there must be at least 85 letters left. These 85 letters represent the number of letters from the Parsha of Vayehi ben Sarah Ha'aron. If the Sefer Torah is missing the 85, is there a Heter of Hatzolah? Our answer is it depends if any of them have the Shem Hashem. And whether these 85 letters must be together or they can be separated, that's a machlokes. The Gemara says the two psukim in the Pasuk of Vayehi ben Sarah Ha'aron in Bamidbar Yud have two upside-down nuns, one before and one after. This parsha, Hashem made marks the two nuns to tell us that these psukim are really out of place and should have been put in Perek Beis when the issue of carrying and travel were discussed. Rebbe says this is the proper place, and the nuns are there since this is like a separate sefer of the Chumash. Daf Kuf Tazayin. In fact, this would mean that there are really seven Chumshei Torah, not five, because Bamidbar now is really three parts, the beginning, Vayehi ben Sarah Ha'aron, and the rest of Bamidbar. And in the future, when the Yetzer Hara goes away, this parsha will be moved from here to its proper place. The margins of a Sefer Torah, or a Sefer Torah which a min wrote, someone who is Eved Avodah Zarah, there is no heter to save it. Rabbi Tarfon said, if someone was pursuing to kill me, I'd rather run into a base Avodah Zarah than the house of a min. The Avodah Zarah doesn't know any better, but a min knows about Hashem and is still a kofer. Rabbi Shmuel said, Shemus, with the Shem Hashem, can be destroyed via Kal V'chomer. If to make Shalom Bayis Ben Ishla Ishtai, one can erase the Shem Hashem, we know that we erase the Shem Hashem to be put into the Mayamama Arim. For the Saita, Kal V'chomer, these people who spread Kfira, certainly when they write the Shem Hashem, we can erase it. The Gemara says the wife of Rebbe Eliezer, who was the sister of Rebbe Gamliel, once went to a min to prove that even though he claimed he wouldn't take a bribe, he would take one of the bribes if it was chashev enough. She said that she wanted half of her father's estate, and he was matarit, even though the Torah says that when there are sons, the daughter does not get a Yerusha. In the time of the Amorim, they didn't read Ksuvim on Shabbos in the Beis Medrash, so as not to discourage people from attending the regular Shir. The next Mishnah. The heter of saving a Sefer Torah or Tefillin on Shabbos also applies to their containers, i.e. the Sefer Torah cover, or the Tefillin Zekel. And even if in the container there is also money, which is Muktzah, so therefore it's a Basis L'Davra Aser, it's still Mutter to save that as well. And to where do we take the Davar Shebik Kedusha? The Mishnah answers only to a Mavui She'ena Mufulish, a Mavui which is not open, i.e. a courtyard which is totally closed. And Beseira says even to a Mavui Mufulish, even to one which is open. Gemara. If Yudal Nisan, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we are still allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach, because we say Esei Dei Chalei Sasei. Rabbi Yishmael says you can only remove some skin, only as much as you need. Others argue and say you remove all the skin, so there won't be a Bizayin in the Kachi Shamayim from the Shulchan Gevoiha. If someone has a basis which contains both a davar asar and a davar hamutar, which is chashev, then one can move it. It's not considered a basis l'davar asar, but rather a basis l'davar asar v'davar hamutar. Even Rabbi Shimon normally holds that a davar she'ena miskaven is mutar, but if it's a malacha, that will for sure happen, it's a psik resha, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's asar. The Gemara says, according to the Tanakhama, a sefer Torah can only be taken to a closed mavoi. This is referred to as enem of foolish. Only the Mesera holds it can even be taken to an open mavi, one which is mafulish, that can be used as well. What is the difference between a mavi mafulish and an ena mafulish? My answer is back then, a group of houses used to open up into a common chatzer, and numerous chatzeres used to open up into an alleyway. This alleyway was called a mavi. This all eventually led to a street. If someone wants to carry from a house to a chatzer, you needed an erev chatzeres. If someone wanted to carry from a chatzer to a mavi, they needed something called a shitufe mavoyas. A mavli she'ena mefulish, one which is closed, had three walls with a fourth side having a machitza. Rabbi Eliezer says, this machitza comprises of one lechi, a vertical beam on each side. But if it only has one lechi, then it's called mefulish, it's called open, and only Ben Becerra would allow one to carry the Sefer Torah. To be machshir a mavli, Beis Shammai says you need a lechi and a kaira, a vertical beam as well as a horizontal one, while Beis Hillel says either one is good. Rabbi Eliezer says you need two lechayayim. On the next tape of Midrash Rambam, we'll continue with the next Mishnah, but at this point we will conclude our shir.